On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. And here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, everybody in podcast land, time for another episode of the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. I think we're up to 251 or something like that.
I think you're right.
That's a lot. It's... Anyway, we've been doing this many years, but it's been fun.
Yeah, if we did it every week, we'd be over 1,000, but we have lives. Sorry.
Yeah, who has time for that?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear us every week.
I mean, we barely got to slip this one in. I'm so damn busy this week, so. And you too.
All right.
Go for it.
Well, let's start out with some rapid fire. All right, so rapid fire is where we have three trivia questions and we try to stump each other. And I think I got some pretty good ones for you this time.
All right.
We'll see how well you do. And those out in podcast land, try to play along, see if you can go 6 for 6. We never do, so hopefully you do.
Yeah, we're not expecting you to do anything out there, so good luck.
Yeah. All right, question one for you. Who played bass for Thin Lizzy after Marco Mendoza, but before the current guy, Troy Sanders? There was one guy in there for about 7 months.
I didn't even know Troy Sanders was playing bass for Thin Lizzy, whoever he is.
Yeah, he's the guy in Mastodon.
Really? I had no idea. I mean, I didn't. I know it's pretty much what Scott Gorham and who's the lead singer? Oh, my God. Black Star Raiders guy.
Yeah.
And then whoever else.
Yeah.
I know Tom Hamilton played for a little bit. I'm going to guess Tom Hamilton.
That is correct.
Yes.
Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith.
Is either him or Robbie Crane, somebody like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Robbie Crane played kind of intermittently with Marco Mendoza.
Okay. Marco was cool. I don't know why they let him go. Marco Mendoza was briefly in Journey, too. So.
Yeah, he's a good bass player.
Man gets around.
Yeah.
All right, question one for you. At the 40th anniversary of Atlantic Records, Led Zeppelin and The Who both played. They were basically the headlining rock acts. But there was a female pop artist that played in between those sets, between Led Zeppelin and The Who. Can you name who that 1980s pop star was?
I'm going to say Madonna.
No, that'd be incorrect. That's funny. Dang. My wife guessed the same thing.
Ugh.
Here's a hint. She had a song called Electric Youth.
Electric Youth?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Was that Debbie Gibson?
Correct.
Okay. Who would that? That's would be a total bathroom act.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Debbie Gibson's coming on. I got to go to the bathroom.
It's funny. You go, here's The Who. Here's The Who. Here's Debbie Gibson. Here's Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I read up about that. Apparently, that was in 87, and Jason Bonham played with Led Zeppelin. They played like 5 to 7 songs. They said it was a complete train wreck because they didn't even rehearse. They just went out there and played. It's like, eesh.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought, that's not good. What the heck?
No, they just went out there and did it just because of Ahmet Ergen, whatever his name is, but. I would have been so disappointed.
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, there's better than most guys could play Led Zeppelin anyway, but still, it was not very sharp.
Right. Okay. And bonus question, when Led Zeppelin did get back together and had that one show in London, who opened for them?
I'll say Guns N' Roses.
Nope. Foreigner.
Oh, geez. Really?
Yeah. Foreigner also played that 40th anniversary of Atlantic Records. I guess Mick Jones was buddies with the guy. They got to open for him. So.
Okay.
So Foreigner can say they actually opened for Led Zeppelin twice. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. All right. Okay, question number two for you. What do these bands have in common? The Black Crowes, Mastodon, Nashville Pussy, John Mayer, and Seven Dust.
I believe they're all from Atlanta.
Dang it. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Thought I'd throw you off there with Nashville Pussy, thinking they got to be from Nashville.
Yeah, that would have, but I knew the other ones. I didn't know John Mayer was from Atlanta, but the other three I knew were from Atlanta.
Yep.
All right. All right.
All right, you're 2-for-2. Jeez.
Wow, I'm doing well. Okay, and you're 0-for-1, but you might be able to get this one.
All right.
A 1970s band was recording their debut album in 1973. There was a piano in the studio. One of the band's roadies, a guy named William, was tinkering on the piano in between takes. The roadie came up with a piano intro on the spot to one of the band's most famous songs. The roadie laid down the intro, and then was asked to join the band immediately. Name the band.
I think that's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You would be 100% correct.
Yes.
Billy Powell. Yeah.
Billy Powell. Yep. He ended up being like the leader of the band after all the accident and everything else.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. But still pretty cool. He was a classically trained pianist. Yeah, but he didn't tell the band because he thought they would think he was uncool. But yeah, he does the intro to Freebird.
Yeah.
You're in. Okay.
And the whole solo.
Yeah.
Anytime. I mean, the piano's all over that song. So that's awesome.
Yep.
All right. Question number three for you. Let's see if you can go 3-for-3.
All right.
What is Anthrax's highest charting album?
Oh. Good Lord. We Came for You All.
No, that is incorrect. I thought it would be like Among the Living, or maybe that latest one with the Lightning song on it. But no, it was Sound of White Noise.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Started at number 7.
Wow. My guess was going to be the one with Antisocial on it, but I couldn't remember the name of the damn album, the yellow cover.
Yeah.
See, you can't remember.
Killer A's?
No.
Oh.
It was before that. See?
Crap.
Here comes the Alzheimer's. Here it comes.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I don't remember the damn album either. It wasn't a great album either, but the song was cool.
Yeah, even though it's a cover.
Yeah.
Man, they do a lot of covers, and they do them great.
Yeah, they do.
Their
covers do not suck.
All right, so you're 2-for-3, so let's see how I do. See if I can match it.
All right. This one you have a chance at. Okay. Our next segment involves Thin Lizzy, and you've already given me a Thin Lizzy question. So, Thin Lizzy has 7 top 10 singles in their home country of Ireland. I want you to name 5 out of them, but I'll give you 10 guesses. So, you got to name 5 out of the 7. Good luck.
5 out of the 7. And these were number 1 in Ireland?
No, top 10 in Ireland. Some of them are pretty obvious. A couple of them are surprisingly. Okay.
I'm going to say Whiskey in the Jar.
Okay. That's 1. Correct. That went to number 1. So.
Boys Are Back in Town.
All right. That's correct. That also went to number 1 in Ireland. You're on a roll now.
Let's see. How about Still in Love with You?
Still in Love with You. Not on the list. That's your first strike. Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's say The Cowboy Song.
Strike 2.
Dang it.
Uh-oh. So that's 4 guesses. You have 6 guesses left, and you got to get 3.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Here comes the pressure. Dun, dun,
yeah,
dun.
Really. Suicide.
Suicide. Another incorrect answer. Oh, boy. Wow. 5 guesses.
Okay. Let's see something maybe a little bit later.
Some of them.
How about Cold Sweat?
Cold Sweat. Nope. Incorrect. Four.
Wow.
That's six guesses, and you've only gotten two right. You have to get three right. Some of them are pretty damn obvious that you're missing.
Yeah. Some of Thin Lizzy's biggest hits. See, I'm thinking of all my favorite songs. Shoot. Let's see.
He's gotten two. He's guessed six of them. He's got four guesses left. He's got to get three out of four now. Good luck.
Let's see. What's that one with Gary Moore? Black Rose?
Nope. Incorrect. That's,
dang it.
You're down to seven. You have to get these next three right. I'm not even going to give any guesses because some of them are... You're going to kick yourself when you miss them. All right.
Okay, so I have so far, the boys are back in town and still in love with you.
No, boys are back in town and whiskey in a jar. Still,
whiskey in the jar, yeah.
Those are the two number ones. There's also two number twos on here. One of them is a surprise. Actually, both of the twos are a surprise. The number four, I can't even believe you hadn't said it yet, but go ahead.
Let me think. How many more guesses do I have?
You have three guesses and got to get all three right.
Damn it.
Okay.
How about Waiting for an Alibi?
Correct. There you go. You got two guesses left and two more to get right.
Let me think. How about The Rocker?
Nope. You have lost. You have missed this question.
Well, how about Don't Believe a Word?
Yep. You got that.
Dancing in the Moonlight.
Yep. But you've already missed 10.
Yeah.
So I thought Dancing in the Moonlight we were going to get right away. So.
Yeah.
And there's two that you haven't got on the list. One of them is from Chinatown, and the other one was released after Phil passed away.
Chinatown, I guess Killer on the Loose?
Yep. Believe it or not, was number five. And there's one more left. A song that...
One more after he was...
After he passed away, I believe it was... And actually came out in the 90s. It was one of those songs they patched, the rest of the band members patched together and put out on a compilation. And it made it all the way to number two in Ireland.
Wow.
It's a good song, too.
Oh.
It's also the name of the compilation album.
Oh, shoot.
He's going to kick himself.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the compilation album.
You ready?
Yeah.
Starts with the letter D.
The letter D.
As in duh.
Let me think. What was that album that came out? Dedication.
Correct. Dedication. Wow, you almost had a hemorrhage there. Jeez.
Man, that's a great song, Dedication.
Isn't it? Well, surprising, though, that Killer on the Loose was that high. And I don't believe it. I'm surprised at the rest of them. I'm not surprised at. But okay, well, that was fun going through the Thin Lizzy history there with you.
Don't Ooh. Believe a Word. That was one.
Yeah. Dancing in the Moonlight, Waiting on an Alibi, Boys Are Back in Town, Whiskey in a Jar, Killer on Loose, and Dedication. Thin Lizzy's seven top 10 singles in their home country of Ireland.
Wow.
Which makes Ireland way cooler than the United States because they had Boys Are Back in Town. That was it.
Yep.
All right.
Well, that's been proven over and over again.
I also found something in history. I looked to see the last Thin Lizzy song to hit the top 100 singles charts. Was a song on Black Rose.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The first song. Do You Believe What You Want? Number 81.
Really? That
that was the last Thin Lizzy song chart in the top 100 in the United States.
Nothing off of Thunder and Lightning.
Nope. Thunder and Lightning barely came out in here. It was ridiculous. They ignored them after that.
Man, that was a great album.
Yeah, it was.
I mean... John Sykes is on it, so that doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Mr. John Sykes from Northridge, California, who hasn't been seen in years. Thanks, John. Just put out some albums. We'll buy them.
Yeah, really?
Guaranteed income there, Mr. Syke. A lot of people are waiting for you to come back.
Yeah.
All right, so that was fun, huh?
All right, well, you won. Great job.
Woo-hoo. You know what? And my prize is we're going to play a track-by-track battle now. Featuring two Thin Lizzy albums. Two that I'm not really that familiar with, and I'm not sure if you were either.
I knew probably half of them.
Yeah, some of the songs I flat out didn't know. The ones I didn't, are not really go-to albums at all. And those albums were Nightlife, which was produced by Ron Nevison in 1974, and Fighting, which was produced by Phil Anatt in 1975. Both of these albums featured the twin guitar attack of Brian Robertson and Scott Gorham. That's when they kind of changed their sound. And on these two albums, you can see where they were starting to hone in on that particular sound because it starts, it starts to come out.
Oh, yeah, the harmony guitars, big time.
Yeah, because the prior three albums had just Eric Bell on it, and they sound a little bit different.
Yeah. The production on these albums is not great.
No.
You know, listening to them, I'm like, man, they could sound so much better.
And that was part of their issue with it, too. I mean, even with Ron Nevison, who wasn't a name at the time, but these albums don't sound like Thin Lizzy did live. They were much heavier, much faster. These are cleaned up and almost kind of mellow.
And that's in this track-by-track battle, that came up a couple times. In that the songs, the live versions are so much better, but I'm going by the studio versions that are on these albums. So
yeah, I think I know where you're going to go with that too, because I totally get that.
So the track by track battle is we go through each album. Both albums have 10 songs, and the track order or the listing is very important because you have the first song versus the first song, the second song versus the second song. So one album you may know is better, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, and you only get a point is if we both agree on the song being better. So
right.
And then we scientifically figure out which is the better album based on our personal taste, which is not science at all. But, hey, you know, that's something we do.
That's right.
Unique to us. So we have to agree. I mean, lots of times some of these are close. We might. Some of them, sometimes we just flat out disagree. You know, I might love a song and Danny might hate it, or the reverse.
Yeah.
But it was cool listening to these because I wasn't that familiar with the deeper tracks. And there's a lot of gems on here. It's like, wow, I really liked it. I'm not even familiar with this song. Or, boy, that's crap. I'm glad I'm not familiar with that song. But the majority of the songs, I was pleasantly surprised with both albums because I think I've at least listened to both albums at least seven times in the last 3 days. And I've really enjoyed them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know of any song that I would skip. Yeah. You know, maybe there's one instrumental. Maybe I'd skip that one. But
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start off with track number one.
All right. We have She Knows off of Nightlife. She knows and she gives her everything. She knows. Versus Rosalie. Rosalie, Rosalie, yeah. Rosalie, Rosalie. Which is a Bob Seger cover.
Yeah, and I was familiar with Rosalie because of Live and Dangerous.
Right.
Absolutely a killer song on Live and Dangerous. And She Knows, I didn't even know.
I knew that song, and of course I knew Rosalie from the Live and Dangerous, which is much faster, but the one that gets my vote is She Knows, because of what we talked about a minute ago, that the faster version is killer, but this mellower version, not so much.
We are thinking along the same lines. If it was Rosalie live, Rosalie wins. But studio tracks, I gave it to She Knows, a song I didn't know, and I really enjoyed. So we agree. So She Knows gets a vote.
All right.
Nightlife is up on 1-0.
Surprise. 1 point for Nightlife.
All right. You going to keep track of which album gets a point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so the song number two off of Nightlife is the title track, Nightlife. Versus For Those Who Love to Live. You got to give a little love to those who love to live. Gotta give a little bit of love, gotta take a little hate from those who have to win.
Okay.
And I like both of these songs, but the edge for me goes to Nightlife.
Really?
Yep. Even though it's kind of mellow, it kind of grooves in there later. Yeah, that gets my vote.
Okay. I wasn't familiar with either one of these songs.
Nope.
Not at all. Nightlife starts off almost like a slow blues number. And then right before the chorus, it switches tempos to a much more upbeat song, which I thought was weird and didn't work. I'm like, whoa, that just changed all of a sudden out of nowhere. It's like two different songs. I didn't get that. So my vote doesn't go for Nightlife because I didn't like Nightlife at all.
All right.
So for me, it's a really easy choice. For Those Who Love to Live wins in my vote. So
all right. So
no vote.
Neither album gets a point.
And so you were totally wrong on that one.
Nope. I thought the tempo change worked. I thought it brought the song. It had an intro, and then it brought it out to, you know, more of a frenzied song.
I don't know. It's like he was smoking marijuana and all of a sudden switched to meth in the middle of the song. So, yeah.
All right. Song number three off of Nightlife is It's Only Money. You don't believe in love. You don't believe in hate. You put your money in the bank. It's the only way to save it. You won't. Versus off of Fighting is Suicide. And I didn't know It's Only Money at all. Never heard it before. Of course, Suicide's off the live album. I had a tough time with this one because I like It's Only Money, but my point goes to Suicide.
Wow. Again, we were thinking along the same lines. It's Only Money, I had never heard before, never remembered it. But damn, does it kick ass. I really like it. It's like, wow, this is great. Great lyrics, great song. Suicide, same thing. I only knew it from Live and Dangerous. Both songs are probably, this is probably the toughest one. Both songs kick ass. Both have great lyrics. I voted for Suicide.
All right.
Suicide gets the point.
So we have 1 point for each album. Right. Okay, song number four off of Nightlife is Still in Love with You. Versus Wild One. Oh, sure you're a wild one. Oh, you're a wild one. I had heard Wild One off a compilation before, but Still in Love with You absolutely gets my vote. This is one for me that was pretty easy.
Okay. Surprisingly that you liked a ballad.
Yep.
Still in Love with You is a Thin Lizzy classic, and it's one of those classics I don't care for that much.
Wow.
Even though it's Gary Moore playing on this song.
Yep.
In fact, the history of this is the song that got Thin Lizzy the record deal after their first record. Well, I think they were on Decca for the first three, and that company collapsed. This song got them their deal. Brian Robertson was supposed to record over the Gary Moore stuff and flat out refused. Probably the smartest thing he ever did as a 17-year-old, you know?
Yeah, really.
He said, no, I can't do it. This is too perfect. And Gary Moore's playing is great on this. I only knew Wild One because I know John Norum covered it. So that's the reason I knew that song. And Still in Love with You is a quality song. The guitar playing is great, but I don't like it.
Oh, man.
So I voted for Wild One.
Boy, that is so wrong. Still in Love with You is like one of the most classic ballads ever.
I know.
Wow.
And I just
okay.
It's like that Kiss song, "I Still Love You."
Oh.
I don't like that song, and that reminds me of this song, even though I know it's a
not even close.
He's a Thin Lizzy fan. I know I'm supposed to love "Still in Love with You." I just don't. I can't explain it. So, Thin Lizzy fans, I'm sorry. I know I'm wrong, but I voted for Wild One. Oof.
All right. Well, song number 5 off of Nightlife is Frankie Carroll.
Frankie Carroll, you fell to bed last night.
And off of Fighting is Fighting My Way Back. This is another one that I had no problem with. This Fighting My Way Back definitely gets my vote.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar. Fighting My Way Back, I was familiar with, kind of, sort of. Frankie Carroll, I was never heard it before.
No.
And initially heard it, didn't like it that much. But the more I heard it, I liked it more and more. But I don't like it enough to beat Fighting My Way Back. So that's my vote. But Frankie Carroll seems like it's a nice story song that doesn't really finish the story.
Yeah.
It's about a guy named Frankie Carroll, whoever that is. It turns out a pretty bad guy. But it's an unfinished idea because the song's a short song, but it could have been much longer and could have finished the story. I don't understand.
Yeah, it could have had another verse.
Yeah, let's find out why is Frankie Carroll the bad guy and what happened to Frankie Carroll, really, you know.
Right.
Anyway.
All right, so Fighting gets another point. So we're 2-1. Fighting gets 2. Nightlife has 1.
Okay.
All right. Song number 6 off of Nightlife is Showdown.
Showdown.
Versus King's Vengeance.
Okay.
And this one might be one of the harder choices for me. I hadn't heard King's Vengeance before at all, but the more I listened to it, the more I liked it. I had heard Showdown before, and that's the one that got my vote.
Ooh, this was a tough one for me too. Showdown is I wrote this down. What mellow? It's moody. There's some great moments in it. The other one, King's Vengeance, I didn't know at all, but I liked it immediately. It really shows off Brian and Scott big time.
Yeah, totally.
And the only reason I voted for King's Vengeance is Showdown has bongos in it.
All right.
But I really like Showdown too. If didn't have the bongos, I would have been totally into it. So.
Yeah. All right. So no album gets a point there either.
Yeah, but I could have went either way with that one. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right, song number 7 off of Nightlife is Banshee. Which is an instrumental.
Not the extreme song.
Not the extreme song, because that would be no contest.
Right.
Versus off of Fighting is Spirit Slips Away.
When your spirit slips away.
The instrumental is cool. I mean, it is what it is. It's like a minute and a half or so.
Yeah.
But I thought Spirit Slips Away is another song I did not know, but I really learned to like it, and it's that one got my vote.
Yeah, I wrote down that the Banshee is a minute and 27 seconds. It's nice. Seems like it's like the good beginnings of a good song, an unfinished idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Spirit Slips Away, I didn't know at all, but the subject matter is really deep, and I really like the instrumental breakdown that happens twice in the song I wrote. It's one. Every time I listen to it, I like it more and more. I'm thinking, why didn't I know this song? There's a couple songs on these albums like, why didn't I know that? Yeah. It's Only Money. How come I wasn't familiar with that one? And Spirit Slips Away is another one. King's Vengeance. I'm like, why don't I know these songs?
Yeah, these are great songs.
Because I pretty much jumped on the Thin Lizzy bandwagon with Jailbreak on. I never really discovered the stuff before that. I knew it was there, and I just never took the time to listen. So,
yeah, I don't know that I'm going to go back. I'll listen to these albums more, but I don't know that I'll go back to the Eric Bell stuff.
No, I mean, The Rocker, yeah, and Whiskey in a Jar are the ones. I think I'll listen to them again just to see, but I don't think I'm going to find much on those. I don't know.
No.
But these, the ones I like that I discovered, I'm sticking them on my phone.
Absolutely.
I'm going to listen to those again, so yeah, okay.
Okay, so Fighting gets another point, so we're now 3-1.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. All right, song number 8 off of Nightlife is Philomena.
And if you see my mother, tell her I'm keeping fine. Will you tell her that I love her, and I'll try to write sometime.
Okay.
Which is Phil's mom's name. I don't know if the song is about her. It doesn't really seem like it, but that's the name of the song. Versus Silver Dollar off of Fighting.
Okay.
This one I didn't have much of a problem with. I voted for Philomena. Such a great song. I didn't know much about either one of them, but Philomena got my vote.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't know either one. I know that Silver Dollar is one of those songs that is written by somebody else besides Phil. It's written by Brian Robertson. And I think it's the worst song on the album. I think it's the worst song on both albums.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't like it at all. Maybe that's why Phil, it might be the last song Brian ever wrote with this band by himself. Philomena's got that Irish country vibe to it. Yeah, and I believe the song is about Phil's mom. Again, I like the guitar work with Brian and Scott in there, and it works for me. So Philomena is an easy one. So,
all right, so Nightlife gets a point.
3-2
3-2 now. Let's see what happens. The last two songs.
Surprising.
All right. So off of Nightlife, we have Sha La La. Which I knew from a couple of their live albums. Versus the Freedom Song.
I believe in the Freedom Song. Long live liberty. I believe in the Freedom Song.
And I had a hard time with this one. I didn't know Freedom Song, but this is another one that the more I listened to it, the more I liked it. So, but Sha La La rocks hard, and I do enjoy that. So that one gets my point.
Okay. Yeah, I knew Sha La La from Live and Dangerous. Didn't know Freedom Song at all, but it's not a bad song. It reminded me like, it could have, it almost reminds me of Southbound. It's like a pre-Southbound song. It's got elements of that song, but Southbound hadn't come out yet. Freedom Song.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's good, but Sha La La, especially Brian Downey on drums and the guitars in that song, it's killer.
Great, great song.
Easy one for me, Sha La La.
All right, well, they're tied 3-3. Interesting.
Okay, down to the last song.
Down to the last song, which is Dear Heart off of Nightlife. And Ballad of a Hard Man off of Fighting.
Well, they got a scheme to sell your dreams to silver screens and glossy magazines.
I don't really want to know technically what the Hard Man is about, but it's a really good song, and I didn't have any problem voting for that over Dear Heart, because Dear Heart's just, is too mellow for me.
Interesting. A Dear Heart and Ballad of a Hard Man. Ballad of a Hard Man is not a ballad.
No, not at all.
But Dear Heart is a ballad. And Ballad of a Hard Man is one of the few songs written by somebody, not Phil LaNotte. It's written by Scott Gorham. And it's a much heavier song. The lyrics are okay, but it's a flat-out rocker. And this one is another easy one for me. I voted for Ballad of a Hard Man because it's much heavier.
Yep. Yeah, that, you know, with the lyrics, if Scott Gorham wrote the lyrics, shame on him because he's got one of the all-time greatest lyricists in his band of all time, not just, you know, of the 70s or whatever. Phil LaNotte's lyrics are amazing. And he, you know, the songs where he creates a story, you feel it. You're there. You see it, you know, like Dancing in the Moonlight. You are there walking along the street under the spotlights of the street lamps.
Boys and Back in Town, same thing. You get a vibe of where they're at, what they're doing.
Absolutely. So, well, that gives Fighting 4 and Nightlife 3.
Well, I wouldn't say shame on the guys for trying. Remember, they were new guys. They were new guys in the band. They were trying out, see what worked. And I think these, you had to have these two albums to get where they were going. You need to get Jailbreak, Bad Reputation, Johnny the Fox, all Black Rose. You had to have these two albums first before you got there. So you can see how these two got them there, because they're elements. They're great elements on these two albums, and there's some other stuff that, oof. But they, one of the reviewers said Nightlife is kind of an anomaly in the Thin Lizzy catalog. And I can see that, because it's got some really soulful elements to it. And Fighting is that bridge to when they became a really hard rocking band, especially on Jailbreak.
Exactly. Yeah, it seemed like they knew where they wanted to get to, but they had to have that intermediate step.
Yep.
From between Nightlife and Jailbreak, and that's Fighting.
And it was cool listening to these, because I discovered some new songs that, well, not new, they're old songs, but new songs to me that I really like, and I'm going to listen to again and again. So it's fantastic.
Yep.
And when I was rating these albums, you know, I did my own little thing. Who, and there's 10 songs. I had Fighting down for 7, and I only had Nightlife down for 3. So,
yeah. Yeah, I had 6 on Nightlife and 4 on Fighting, but
really,
like I said,
you had Nightlife better than Fighting. Are
well,
you sure.
Based on the song order, but 3 of those could have gone either way.
Okay.
You know, two of the ones that I voted for Nightlife really could have gone either way. You know, Sha-La-La and Freedom Song, you know, that was really close. And then Showdown and King's Vengeance.
For me, it's only Money and Suicide, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I easily could have voted for It's Only Money off of Nightlife, but.
And these albums came out pretty much within a year of each other. If they could have taken the best songs off of each of these albums, that's a killer album right there.
Oh man, that's almost the greatest hits.
And re-recorded it with a better producer, and making them sound like they did. Recorded it live and heavy.
Yeah, and you know, sped a few of the things up, and not sounded like you were listening through a mattress.
Right. I mean. The album is what some of those early 70s albums sounded like before, you know, even though Montrose came out in 73, but that album does not sound like, and that album came before these two. Imagine if they had that Montrose sound with Ted Templeman.
Yeah. If they had Ted Templeman producing these two albums
and made it much heavier. Oh yeah. God, maybe Thin Lizzy would be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, maybe, even though
that is ridiculous. That is such a ridiculousness that they're not in.
Yeah, I think that's a U.S. bias, because the rest of the Europe totally gets it. A lot of people around the world get it, but the U.S. critics never got it. So,
right,
shame on them.
Yeah.
Okay, so
well, that's why Toto's not in there either. But yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Even though I think
one of the biggest albums of the '80s.
Even though I think they're not in there. They think they should be, along with a lot of other bands. And we could go on a tangent forever. Snubs. Yeah. We'll do a snubs here pretty soon. Maybe we'll do the snubs in the next couple of months of our top 10 snubs. And but before we do that, we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, Danny interviewed somebody who went to the Extreme Living Color concert. And normally when we do reviews, you know it's going to be positive because we're going to see bands we like. But I brought my wife to the show, and she did not have the same enthusiastic reaction and I didn't. So Danny interviewed her, so you get to hear the take on this. So somebody else's review that wasn't as fond of Extreme and Living Color as I was, or Danny loved it too. But
yeah.
So we just thought we'd record it and see how it comes out. And don't hate my wife because she doesn't like it. It's her opinion. She can have her opinion.
And she was a lot more, I don't disagree with her with what she found to be wrong or what she did not like of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that ruined it more for her than it did for me.
Right.
So I'm not going to go into any more detail. You'll just have to listen next time.
It's just like seeing Van Halen with Roth back in the day. If we just concentrate on Dave's vocals and forgetting lyrics and all that stuff, yeah, I could see how it could ruin your show. But
those were some of the best shows of all time.
Right. It didn't bother us back in the day because we got all this other stuff going on, and it was pretty damn exciting.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I hope you guys enjoy my wife castrating Extreme and Living Color. So stay tuned.
I'm glad you continue with that instead of, I hope you guys enjoy my wife.
Yes. She's been asking me, when am I going to be on? Okay, well, we're going to stick it on there. So,
all right.
Don't hate on her. Don't hate on me. I'm sorry. I still love Extreme. I love the show, but not everybody did there, okay? Just saying.
Just saying.
All right, and we're going to see you back in a couple weeks with some real positive stuff.
Totally positive.
Yeah, we don't know what it is yet. We'll figure it out.
So what do you want to know about the show?
Well, Mark basically said he liked it, but you did not.
I did not.
In general, what didn't you like about it?
Well, it was interesting because I was wearing earplugs. You know, there's one song about this from this group that I just, for some reason, drives me up the wall. Every time it comes on the radio or...
Is it More Than Words?
Yes. It
just
annoys the hell out of me. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Oh, I get that. I've had some friends here that are the same way, that they just think it's, hey, either love me physically or forget it. Don't tell me you love me. You got to show me. And that's...
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always like going to shows, and I like the entertainment factor of it. I don't mind the loudness of it. I always have a great time in shows. But this one just rubbed me the wrong way all around.
Yeah.
So I was wearing earplugs, and it was interesting. It was the first show that I've been to where I've worn the earplugs.
Okay.
And I could hear the vocals so clearly.
Ooh.
The vocals came through the music, which was really bizarre.
Okay. I don't know if that's a good thing, though. I've had issues with Gary's vocals. And
you're talking about Extreme first. She loves Living Color.
Oh, no. No, but he could sing.
The guy in Living Color?
Yeah, the guy in Living Color could sing.
He can.
He can definitely sing. I didn't particularly like what he was singing. But, you know, he was somewhat entertaining, and you could tell that he had a really good voice.
Yeah.
But Extreme, I was disappointed. The guy that plays the acoustic guitar and the long hair, I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, is Nuno.
Yes, him. Mm-hmm. He has an okay voice, but he seemed like he was a little fatigued.
Oh, okay.
And I wondered if the you know, maybe they'd been doing too many shows or too late, or maybe, you know, he's going the way of John Bon Jovi. I don't know. And then there was this other guy, though. I don't remember his name, but I call him the wannabe Mick Jagger, because he's jumping around on the stage and trying to keep the energy up in the band.
Yeah.
Boy, he can't carry a tune in a bucket. He can't.
He was having issues when we saw them in Atlantic City.
Really?
Yeah, just,
Yeah, see, it wasn't just me.
Yeah, it was just you.
No.
Gary Strong's a decent singer.
He's a decent singer, but
Not more.
I think maybe what you were saying about Nuno, maybe it's affecting all of them. That they've been on tour for, when we saw them, it was their third show of the tour. So it's been about 6 weeks now that they've been touring, and it's got to be brutal.
Probably. Probably, but I just didn't find anything redeeming about him. With Nuno, I could hear some really good qualities come through. It just sounded like he was fatigued. But the other guy, and then when he started singing
Cupid,
OMG. Wow. And I like that song.
Yeah, I do too.
And he just killed it, and not in a good way.
I like it.
You know, it was funny.
Did Mark like it?
I don't know. It was like we were at two different concerts. I'm looking around, and again, I think the earplugs that I had really, you know,
They probably knocked out a lot of the frequencies of like the cymbals and the guitar, the higher guitar parts, so you could really hear the vocals a lot better.
Probably, because it was really interesting. And I'm looking around and watching people, and without exception, everybody was just going bonkers over the music. And I'm sitting here thinking, what's happening here?
Yeah. What are they listening to?
Yeah, bad taste.
Wow, that's interesting, because I didn't the show we saw, I didn't think Gary was a top form. I mean, I've seen him times, right? When he's amazing, and other times when he's like, ooh, that...
he was not amazing. And I think he was trying really hard to make the show entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Rolling Stones in concert before, and I've seen Mick Jagger on stage, and you know, he has a lot of just natural dynamic energy, and you know, it just flows out of him. And this guy, you know, he was putting the energy out there, but he was definitely working hard at it. And it showed, in my opinion, anyway.
And it just seemed like he was trying too hard, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it's funny because when we started running around on stage, I keep thinking, this guy's trying to be like Mick Jagger. There's no way.
He wishes.
He wishes, that's right. So, you know, like I said, I think the earplugs did a disservice to the concert.
But it saved your hearing, so that's a good thing.
It did. the reason I wore them was because I was getting over a little bit of a head cold. And so my ears were a little sensitive.
Oh, yeah. And I could see that.
And so Mark suggested that I wear earplugs. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That might be a good idea. Otherwise, normally, I think this was the only time I've ever worn earplugs in a concert. So.
Wow.
But, yeah.
She was a little cold. She had bronchitis.
Oh.
Okay.
A little cold.
That's a little different than just a little cold, but...
Yeah. It all depends.
She was heavily medicated. That's why her review is wrong.
Oh, jeez.
I had two ibuprofens two or three hours before.
That's not heavily medicated.
No, that's not heavily medicated. Anyway, so hey. that was my experience with the show. I tell you what, I couldn't wait for it to be over.
I think that's a different than review than Mark is going to give.
Yeah, I had fun though watching other people, you know.
Yeah.
Almost senior citizen crowd.
Yeah, well, we saw them in a casino, and a lot of people there were obviously given comp tickets. This couple in front of us, they're probably in their 70s, had no idea what they were there to see. And they made it about halfway through Living Color and then had to leave.
Yeah, poor people.
They even said, we don't know who this is. We just got tickets from the casino. It's like, well... Yeah. They're hard rock, so I'll be interested to see what you think.
there was a lady outside of the venue trying to give away a ticket. and then after you made it through the show, you got a $20 or a $10 casino slot machine voucher.
Yeah, we got those.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so
interesting.
And we played, and guess who won big money with those slot pulls?
Not you.
Not me.
No.
Yeah, well.
Well, so that made it worth it.
$7.
Oh, geez.
So I walked. I don't like losing money. We paid enough for those tickets already. So, I don't know. Maybe the band just needs, to be fair to them, they just perhaps need a break.
Well, they're on the cruise right now.
The Monsters of Rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is that, you know, I think they need a vocal. No. I don't.
Do you think Nuno's a good guitar player?
Phenomenal. There's no question about it. He phenomenal guitar player, and I could see you know that he does have a good voice, but like I said, I think he was definitely fatigued or it's starting to change, but you could definitely see that he was a good singer. You know that song, what is it, Hole in My Heart?
Wholehearted.
That song doesn't bother me. I've listened to it in the radio, and it's fine. It's a nice song, right? But even with that one, he had a little bit of a tough time.
Yeah, he kind of sings half of that with Gary. I don't think Mark agrees with your analysis.
In the least, my wife is right about most things except for music.
You know, well, there are a lot of. Bands that Mark has introduced me to that I just really, really like. And this is just not one of them. And I really do think that if I hadn't had the earplugs in, and if they would have been a little more vocally rested, I think it would have made a big difference.
Yeah. Well, when you start hearing that and you go, like, oh, that wasn't good right from the beginning. Then you start, that's going to ruin your whole perception of the rest of the night. Cause you'll be like, oh, that's still bad.
Right.
So I can totally see why you feel like that.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what the next show she's going to see with me is? Mr. Big.
Ooh. Okay.
You know, I like going to these shows with Mark.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Big it's really going to depend because their vocalist is kind of having the same issues that Gary was having. Kind of sometimes he's here and there, and sometimes he's really off. But we saw them a couple weeks ago, and they were great, and their vocals were awesome. So it'll be interesting to see what you think of that one.
Okay. Yeah.
See if you wear earplugs or not.
I probably won't. I probably won't. I mean, I'm telling you, try it. You should try it. You should go to a concert. I have those little orange foamy ones that you, you know, tiny ones that you stick in your ears. And I had them in there pretty good. And wow, that was quite an experience.
That's interesting. I will definitely try that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even halfway through the show, I'll take them out and see what it does. Or
yes, do that. Do all that, right. and check it out. But those vocals... boy, do they come through.
Good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for the review. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
I'd like to express to our audience that none of these opinions reflect the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show or the host of the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show.
Hey, you asked her to come on.
Was that a mistake or what?
No.
No, we did it for the honest review. I mean, because we're always so positive with our reviews most of the time. And it's nice to get a different perspective of it. So,
yeah.
Even though her perspective is totally wrong. Oh, by the way, I have to make a correction. You know, we got $10 for a slot poll, so it was $20 for the both of us. We walked out with $20.88, so we made 88 cents, so we actually made money there, so.
Wow, way to go.
And she spent $7 prior, and we lost it all.
Okay.
But I don't get the whole slot thing. Slot thing, there's no, you just pull and pray. It's, I mean.
Yeah, gambling to me in general, I just don't get it. I mean, I know some of it is skill, and you can go try your hand at poker or blackjack, and there's skill in that, but I don't have any of that skill, so I don't really care. I'll just send a check to Vegas if I feel the need.
Yeah, there's no skill in slots at all. I was like, okay, they're just pulling. And it's funny because of these casinos, because this show was at the Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio. Yeah, it says penny slot, but yeah, you have to play 60 credits on there, so it's really 60 cents a pull.
Right.
And it's like, and in the old days,
or a push.
Yeah, everything is done digitally, and you put a card in, and if you win, you get a piece of paper instead of the money coming out. It's all different now. I used to enjoy having the money come out. You feel good when you win a dollar. Woo!
Well, it was kind of a thing. You hear ching, 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 ching. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Now,
otherwise, I mean, you hear that a little bit, but there's no coins coming out into the tray or anything.
Yeah, I'd rather play a game, with, at least when you play, like, blackjack, there's some skill involved and strategy, right. But slot, I don't get slots.
Nope.
Roulette is, again, guessing. There's no real skill involved. But I'd rather play roulette than a slot. I don't know.
At least you could pick a number, and maybe you hit, maybe you don't.
Your odds are better in roulette, because if you play, you know, red or black, it's... like what, 48% chance of winning? So, because there's also some green ones, and if you bet rose, there's like a 66% chance of winning if you bet two or three rows. But other than that, I just don't get it.
Nope. Yeah. The house is gonna win no matter what.
Of course,
They're gonna get theirs.
Yeah, and you know, I get why a lot of these bands play the casinos, because the casinos can play, you know, their guarantee. So a band shows up for a casino, they're going to get paid, and the casino's not going to lose money because they're doing it because they want to bring bodies into the casino. So they're going to take your money after the show or before the show anyway. So they win.
Yep.
And the band wins because they got paid.
That's right. Whether they have 20 or 2,000.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife's perspective on the shows. Woo.
Yeah. Well, it's always interesting to get somebody else's perspective because, you know, we're not going to go to shows that we know we're going to hate.
Yeah. Because,
you know, I'm not going to Indigo Girls thinking they're going to rock my face off.
Yeah, that would be a surprise if that happened, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Indigo Girls. Ugh. I would not fit in with that crowd.
No, no.
But it's interesting with the casino. I don't know how it was for you. We were on the floor. We were in row L on the floor, so... But the first 15 rows on the floor, the seats were wider than the seats we were sitting in. And the first 15 rows were getting free popcorn, free cookies. They were given, they must have paid a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
They were getting cookies, popcorn, free stuff. Did they ever come back to the cheaper seats where I was sitting?
No.
No, we got to smell it and see it. It's like, what?
Maybe next time you'll pay more.
What I paid $25 more for, or I don't even know what it was, for free popcorn and cookies? No.
No.
No. But still, I thought that was kind of weird that they were doing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the attendance was sparse at the show for sure because it was in the middle of nowhere. But I saw pictures of the shows in Phoenix and L.A. and Dallas and Houston. Those places were packed compared to what we saw. But
it was fairly well sold in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Because they played in New York City, but they didn't play Philly. And then I think they did play Baltimore.
Yeah, that's probably why, because all those places are so close together.
Yeah.
Generally what happens with you is what? They usually either play Philly or Baltimore. You never see them play both, do you, for bands?
A lot of bands I'll see them play both, but they'll be like Journey and Toto started their tour last year. They played in Allentown, which is about an hour north of Philly. And they're playing, or they played Baltimore about a week and a half ago. Or last weekend they played. So a lot of times they'll do like two runs up the East Coast, and at the beginning they'll play one and the end they'll play the other.
Yeah.
But Philly and Baltimore are about an hour and a half apart, and then New York is another hour north of that. And D.C. is about an hour south of Baltimore. So, you know, you got four huge markets there where you could potentially play all four places. And there's a ton of places to play in all those. So,
and you get a high population, but L.A. shows, and you got L.A., San Diego. And it's the same thing, but I've never really drove down to San Diego to see a show. It's just, because traffic is so bad. But
yeah, it's very rare that I'll go down to Baltimore for a show, but I've been to a bunch. Like, if I want to see Kix, that's where I would go.
Not anymore, though.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well.
Oh, one more fact about this show, this interesting times, is I'm sitting there with the show. I look over. My wife is on her Instagram. During the show, scrolling through, or she's seen where the kids are on her little app.
Uh-huh.
And sitting next to me is another woman with her husband or boyfriend or whatever, and the boyfriend, again, is into the show. And the lady next to me is doing the same damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're on their phones, looking at their phones. I'm like, there's a show in front of you. What are you ladies doing?
We had this young couple sitting next to, it was me, then Tony, then this young couple. The guy was really into the show. The girl looked like she'd rather be doing anything else. So she's kind of sitting there looking bored, kind of sitting sideways, not even looking at the stage at all, on her phone the entire show. God almighty, lady.
Ladies.
But whatever, you don't know what you're seeing, so.
I don't get it, but hey.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, yeah, we heard that story about your wife at Pantera and Skid Row.
Yeah.
That was the funniest, I thought, ever.
Well, there was another time we went to see Kiss in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
And we're sitting kind of just where at the back of the floor. It was in a pretty big stadium. We're at the back of the floor where we're about three rows up. So we can see over the sound guy, right? Great, great seats. Because we're like facing this right head onto the stage. It was great. My wife is asleep during Kiss.
Who does that?
Dana does that. Yeah. I will say she was about 8 months pregnant.
Okay, well, I get that.
But still.
With which kid?
Charlotte. Or, no, Charlotte. Annie.
Annie, okay.
Yeah, so that was 30 years ago, but she was 8 months pregnant and asleep at Kiss.
That's funny to say that because I saw the Paul Stanley solo tour at the House of Blues, standing next to DJ Will, famous guy. He's always in the Monster Rock cruise, and my wife is pregnant with our twins. But when Paul starts, she's nowhere to be found because she's throwing up in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Ooh, and
brutal.
A month or two later, she's in the hospital, bedridden with twins. So, oof,
wow.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it seems like KISS brings that out on the ladies, huh? Sleeping or throwing up.
Yeah. Hey, way to go, guys.
Yeah.
You sex machines.
Yeah, but both of us have been married over 20 years, and we may not agree on the hard rock music, but things are still going okay, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be married 35 years this year.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yep.
You win. I'm at 20.
Tell him what he's won, Johnny.
Hey, a life full of happiness. I'm at 23, so
All right.
I got a ways to go. All right. On that note, I hope you enjoyed the wives' review of Extreme and Living Color. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't subscribed or if you haven't written a review, please write a review on any of these sites. And I think we got like 10 reviews on one site. I don't remember which one it is. So
I'm sure they're all good.
Most of them are pretty positive.
All right.
So maybe a couple of you guys out there, if you got a couple minutes, just give us a positive review. We could use it. Is it going to help us either way? Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
If you got a negative review, go ahead. I don't care.
Yeah. My daughter's going to law school. I need the positive reviews.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, and a positive note from Danny there.
All right.
See you in a couple weeks.
All right.
My daughter's going to law school. Screw you guys.